It's great to be with you again. I missed you last week. Mark and Tandy send their love because they used to be here. Some of you will know Mark and Tandy. I was preaching in their church last Sunday. But it's good to be here today. And do keep your Bibles open to that passage in 1 Peter. I really sense the Holy Spirit is really moving in many people this morning. And that chorus that we sung, here I am, wholly available, as for me I will serve the Lord. That's the real word at the moment for us. And I really believe that whether it's to do with Philippe's call for us to pray for Europe, to pray for Spain, to pray for a real move of the Spirit, my heart is massively for Europe to see God move there. It's just shocking, isn't it, to see how many people don't know the Lord in just countries so close to us. Or whether it's that the Lord is saying to you, I want you to get involved in Epping Forest Food Bank. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Let justice roll down like rivers. That isn't just a poetic statement. That's us rolling our sleeves and getting involved. So I really want to ask, my prayer is that volunteer coordinator is here somewhere this morning. Is the Lord calling you to get involved in Epping Forest Food Bank? I would strongly encourage you to talk to Heather afterwards. Or maybe it's with St. Michael's. And when we do a graft, like we said before, when you bring that, in the natural world, if you bring a graft together, two plants together, it's for the purpose of propagating new fruit. And that's what we're praying for with this graft, this partnership with St. Michael's, is new fruit. This is how Jesus was going to be glorified, is we bear much fruit. So who is God calling from here to go and bear much fruit? I'm excited to find out. We want to send people in it to bring and bear much fruit. This is for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God, not for any one church, it's for Jesus. So here I am, wholly available, and I just sense the Spirit moving and calling people and sending people today, which is just what we're about, isn't it? Amen. Uncomfortable, but brilliant. That's how it should be in the kingdom of God. So I hope I've made you squirm a little bit this morning. And said, Lord, is it me, Lord? Am I the one that's meant to be praying or going or giving in some way? Now, on to the sermon this morning, which is about belonging. And as I prayed about this today, I really felt the Lord wanted to bring an encouragement to each person here about belonging. Belonging. A lot of people, when they think of church as a kind of a club, almost like a hobby. But actually, that's not what church is at all. Church is the people of God. A lot of people also think it's all this stuff, the bricks and mortar. Church is us. Church is the people. And we're called to belong to one another as we belong to God. And my heart for St. Mary's and your heart too is that we are a family on a mission that God's called us to. And we pray, I'm constantly praying for us that we get connected to one another, and that we care about one another. The Bible calls us to love God, but to love one another deeply from the heart. There's so many one another's in the Bible, and that's what we're called to. And I really believe that there's an important shift that needs to happen, and it may need to happen in your life, where you shift from the place of perhaps attending or just going to church to actually belonging to church. And you know how it goes. I mean, we've all been new in churches. You know, you come and you visit, and then you attend, and then you sort of consider yourself maybe part of that church. But it can take time before you call the body of the local church my church or our church. And my heart is that all of us see, wherever you're on that journey, that you get to a place where you can see and you say, this is our church. Our church. Don't do church in the kind of third person where it's like them and us. That's not the church. The church is only us. There isn't any them in the church. I look at all of you And I love you, and I see you as part, as much of part of the church as anybody else. We're all parts, included, invited to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are the church. That's really important that we see it as our church. Because really, where there's ownership, then you can influence. One of the things is, I never, when people give me feedback, I really take the feedback best from people who own the church. People who are part of this church. If you are someone on the outside, you can give me your feedback. But I really want feedback from people who own it. Does that make sense? You own it to influence it. Are we agreed on that? If you want an influence, then own it. Be part, belong, connect, care, roll up your sleeves and join in. Be a partner, be a brother and a sister. That's the way. I'm not looking for people who are going to stand on the sidelines. We want people who are going to join in. And it will be a beautiful mess. Often it is in the kingdom of God because we're human and we get things wrong and we're broken. But isn't it beautiful? I'd far rather the mess of the nursery than the order of the graveyard. Amen? We want to be alive. And we want to be owning the vision, participating in the life of God with one another, really knowing each other, and so on. And that's why it's so important that we build family, we build friendship in a healthy way. There can be a lot of unhealthy relationship with family and friends. But actually, this, I would call us, as the church, we're called to model healthy family, healthy friendship, healthy community together, and to be part of it. Everybody is part of it. I haven't got any favorites, ins or outs, or in-betweens. We don't want any cliques, groups, anything like that. I just think of St. Mary's as St. Mary's, as you. People of God and me together, that's who we are. First John 4, verse 20, reminds us that if someone says, I love God, but hates their brother or sister, what does the Bible call them? Anybody remember? What are you called? What does God say you are if you say, I love God, but I don't like the church? A liar. Ooh. You know, that's strong, isn't it? We're called to love God and love God's people. And if we think we can have one without the other, he says, how can we love God whom we can't see if we can't love our brothers and sisters who we can see? That's what 1 John reminds us. So this is a real call and encouragement to community and a desire for us to connect, to belong. I remember I started out in church in the good old Kirk, the Church of Scotland, the one true church. The good old Church of Scotland. We love the Church of Scotland. I was baptized in that church, but it didn't teach me what a church to belong. It didn't teach me that place of a heart to belong, I'm afraid. That was the kind of church you went to attend, not to belong. Sadly, the case. But we moved. I discovered on my journey with the church, when we moved, I was a teenager, and we moved to a Baptist church up in the north of Scotland in Elgin. And that's the first place I discovered a church that you could really belong to, where you could grow together. And when it felt like people were loved each other, wanted to be together, wanted to work out their salvation together. And then for me, it's gone on from there. That was the first place I discovered that. And then later on, also kind of the first time I was ever in the Church of England. I don't come from a massive Church of England background, which might explain a lot. But first time I've ever set foot in the Church of England was when I was 21 at St. Stephen's Twickenham, big church in southwest London. And I felt when I arrived there like I'd come home. I would pray that that's how we feel here and at St. Michael's, if God calls you there. Just feel home. I remember we used to, have any of you been part of churches where communion used to come to you? Well, that was always my experience. But I remember coming up for communion. It was like, oh, I'm going to walk down the aisle to receive communion. It was so exciting. And I thought, this is amazing. Anyway, when I got into that church, And I just felt at home because I felt there's brothers, there's people around me who think the same. We want to do outreach. We're here not for ourselves, but for the community around us. We're mission-based. We're prayer-focused. We're spirit-filled. And we encourage each other. And we help each other through the tough times of life as well. That's so important. And I discovered that. And then Caroline and I, when we got married, we moved church together. We moved up to Oxford. We went to St. Aldate's in Oxford, which is a massive church of 1,000 people. But the attitude that I felt when we both felt when we got there was just to get stuck in. And we loved it there. We had 5 years in that church. We used to have a life group. We led a life group together. And we had a one-bedroom flat with 30 people in our life group. How would you like that? With people sat on the floor, there was people sitting in the corridor. But do you know what? There was such a buzz. There was such life. It was brilliant. We absolutely loved it. And that was our first experience ever of planting something new. Because actually 30 people is a bit unsustainable. We used to have curry nights together. It would be chaos. Real holy chaos. But that was the first moment where we planted out and we found leaders in that group and we sent them out with Acts 16 and, you know, prayed for them and sent them off, and they planted a new group and all that sort of thing happened. It was real joy and momentum around it all. But it's because we kind of made a choice. We just made this choice. And I spoke about this at the Leading Together night the other Thursday. And it's like Caroline and I decided that we would narrow our interests. Because you can do so much in life, can't you? And we're not against any of it. I mean, it's all great. It's good. But we decided, just made a choice. You know, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. So, okay, well, we mean that. So we're going to narrow our interest down to loving the local church. To really pouring our lives into other people. And loving them. And loving God and loving them. And that is where the joy came from. So we weren't trying to balance life in that sort of way. We were just trying to pour our lives out for others, which is a missionary heart, isn't it? And so we did that, and that gave us a real joy in doing that, because we made a decision about the local church that we were going to love the church, that we were going to love the church. We were going to love the leaders of the church. We had my church leader then. He's coming here in October to speak to us on emotionally healthy church. He's Charlie Cleverly, and he was my vicar then, and we absolutely loved that church and really got stuck in. And I was thinking about that during this time, because I recognize sometimes it's easy for me to forget what it's like to, because in that time I had a vicar and I was in a church, whereas sometimes it's a bit of a different perspective when you're leading a church. But I do remember that time of just wanting to pour out your life for others and really invest in friendships and really invest in seeing God move and making connection a priority. So when we would come on a Sunday morning to church when we were in Oxford, and we've always just done this. It's just always been the case, irrespective of whether we get paid or not. You see, I just want you to know it's not because I'm ordained that this is how I roll. It was well before that. But basically, we come to church. I come to church on Sundays not to so much to receive, but to find out who we can bless, to find out who we can encourage, who we can serve, how we can get involved, how can we encourage someone, or whatever it may be. Just looking for the last, the least, and the lost to help encourage. You know what I mean? Yeah? That's how we come to church. And that changes your mindset. You see, if we're just coming to church to be a consumer of the church, which is so much is prevalent in our Western churchianity today, it's a lot about what will I get out of the church. And the church is them, and the church is over there, and other people are producing and providing church for me. And that's often the mindset that people have. The church becomes more like a show, or becomes more like a presentation or something. And it's so sad. That's not the church Jesus died and rose again to give us. He died and rose again to call a people to himself. You're as much a priest as I am. You're every bit the priest of God. You are a priesthood of all believers. You can minister. You can serve the Lord. Everyone gets to play, as John Wimber used to say. Everybody is involved in the ministry of the whole people of God. Amen? You're a missionary. You can be a worship leader. You can lead. You can serve. You can care. You can pastor. You can teach. You can encourage. You can strengthen. You can sometimes need to be strengthened. You sometimes need to be. We're all on this receiving and the giving edge of all of it. And we're all the church. And that's really, really important. And the heart here is that everyone should belong. So let's just read from 1 Peter 2, because this is telling us how to belong. How can we belong? Sometimes I understand that people may feel like I'm struggling to know how to belong. I don't know how I fit. I don't know how I connect in. And so I've just got some thoughts here. It's not all there is to say on the subject, but these are just some thoughts from 1 Peter 2 about how we can do that. And it starts right in verse 1. And it's quite a direct word here. He says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So, you know, sometimes we have to get rid of some stuff in order to put some stuff in. You see how it says here, rid yourselves. Don't sit and wait for God to do it. Because God's already told, like, you are empowered to rid yourself of malice. You can do that. You can. God says you can stop being a hypocrite. Stop it. It's kind of like what he's saying here. Who's going to do this? Anyone? Anybody? This is an open question. Who is going to do this work? You are, and so am I. Don't wait for a prayer ministry line. Don't wait for someone to give you a word about it. It's in the Bible. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. You see how these things are like, these are killers of connection. Take hypocrisy. You know, we're worried that other people might reject us, so we put on a mask so that we will be accepted, but it's not who we are. That is a massive killer of connection, because people don't connect to the real you. But we're worried that people won't want to connect to the real me if they knew what I'm really like. I want to just say, can I just burst this bubble in Jesus' name? Please, we want to get to know the real you. There's only one you. There's not even a real you. There's just you. We want to get to know you, who you are in Christ, who you are, and we want to love you. I hope you can love me as I am. I'm a million miles from the person I want to be, and I'm sure you feel the same. We're not where we want to be, but we're on the journey. But please, let's try and rid ourselves of hypocrisy and slander, for example. When you speak badly of other people, how does that build community? How can we belong? We're all going to be petrified that it might be about us next. If I hear you slander someone and I'm hearing it, I'm thinking, well, what are you saying about me? So I'm not going to tell you anything. Absolutely not. And I won't even trust what you say about other people either, to be honest with you. Because if you're slandering, it just shows what's in the heart. So no wonder the Bible says, look, folks, this is like cleaning up sick. Get rid of it. We have not got any time for this in the church. Some churches spend all their time tiptoeing around these things. Let's just get rid of them, 1 Peter. And let's try to do that together, okay? Number two, that's one way you can build connection, is actually to deal with some of the stuff that's under the surface here. And it takes time. I'm not meaning to trivialize it when I say just get rid of it. That can take a long time. That can be hard work. A battle. It will be a battle. It will not be easy. Some people may need counseling to help them uncouple from these strongholds in their lives. Get counseling, friends. Get prayer. Get all, anything you need. Run to it to get rid of these things, because they will be a snare to us. The second thing is, he says, crave pure spiritual milk. My youth worker used to say, you know, he used to say, garbage in, garbage out. So what are you putting in to your life? Because whatever you're putting in is what is going to come out. And Jesus said, from the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and so on. It's because we put it in there. Now, so the Bible's saying what we should be putting in is pure spiritual milk and meat in the end. Paul also calls them to meat. But let's put God's word into our hearts. Let's put his word into our minds, into our thinking, and be people who read the word and study it. Do you know why he says this? He says, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And I think this is really, really key. And do you know, we have a real choice before us as St. Mary's Church. We can choose to remain as infants. We can choose to remain as children or as spiritual teenagers or wherever you're at. Or we can all choose to grow up. Being a child is wonderful, but being a perpetual child is, there's something wrong there. We want to be those who say, I want to grow up. We want to grow up. If we grow up, justice will roll down like rivers. If we grow up, worship will turn into revival. But sometimes we're just saying, no, I'm going to stay. I'm quite content at my level spiritually. And we've stopped growing. We've stunted. If we had a stunted child not growing up, you take them to the GP, they'd get medication, they'd get help, they'd get a program to help them to grow. And friends, today I want us to grow up. And the way to do it is to have the word of God, to crave. That's such a powerful word, isn't it? Crave it. We need the milk of the word. We need pure nourishment from God to help us to grow up. Then the next thing he says in verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, capital S stone, that's Jesus. And there needs to be, to help us belong and connect, there needs to be a coming to Christ. Because actually, the more you and I get to know God, the more we're going to love each other. It doesn't just happen through trying to be nicer to each other. It happens through really getting right with God as you come to him, the living stone. So how close you are to God is also going to be an indicator of how close you get to other people. How vulnerable and real you are with God is going to be an indicator of how vulnerable you are with other people. And it's important. And some of this inner healing work needs to happen in us. But sometimes that starts where we just say, God, I'm coming. I'm coming to you, not just for ourselves as an individual, but because also impacts. Every time you come to Christ to get closer to him, it is calling you. He's calling you to get closer to your brothers and sisters as well. And he says, you know, he calls him this cornerstone. He says that anybody who rejects the cornerstone in verse 8 is going to stumble. The stone the builders rejected became the capstone. A lot of people reject Jesus. And so they'll end up building defenses in their lives on all fronts and will become eventually an island, unknowable, hard and defended from other people. But friends, we want to take down our defenses. And one of the best ways you can do that is to come to Christ. Because it's getting to know God. Everything else flows out of knowing him first. He's the living stone. We are the stone. We are the living stones. Small s. And it's like this pyramid. You know, you get to know God closer, and it will bring you closer to other people as well. Then he goes on to say, verse 5, he says, when you come to him, he says, you are being built. That's a process, so it doesn't mean the building's finished. It doesn't mean God's work in us is over, but it's really calling us to be built. You know, we've all under construction. We've all got areas in our lives where we are being built and where we are a building site spiritually, and that is okay. It's okay not to be finished yet. It's okay not to be painted and decorated in your heart. It's okay for it to be a building site. and still to be working on many things. That's good. That's being human. That's just being real, and it's appropriate. And it's, we want to see the building sites and rejoice when there's another layer of bricks is built, and rejoice when you get a bit further on in that calling, and to be built up into the house that God lives in by His Spirit. Then he says there's something really lovely and powerful actually in verse 6. He says, "See, I lay in Zion a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." The one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. And some of you will have known, and you'll have heard Will speak here a few weeks ago about shame. What does it mean never to be put to shame? Because actually, I learned so much through, some of you will have seen, I think it's, is it Brené or Brené Brown? Have you, what's her name again? Brené. Brené Brown. If you go on YouTube, search for that TED Talk on the power of vulnerability. It is so good. And one of the things she speaks about there is how shame is an enemy of connection. And shame can really stop us from connecting to other people. Shame basically says, you know, guilt would say you've done something wrong. Shame says you are wrong. And we've got lots of shame stuff going on in our minds all the time. You know, I'm ugly. I'm not interesting. Nobody loves me. I am. And it's all negative about ourselves. And that will stop you from really being able to be vulnerable and being able to be honest and being able to be loving towards other people, because that shame just shuts down being able to share with other people. But it says here, whoever puts their trust in Him will never be put to shame. This vulnerability breaks shame. Isn't that wonderful? Trust. Whoever trusts in Him. So we can trust in God, but we also become more, as we get to know God more, if we can step out and take a risk with one or two people that we trust, that we can be open and honest and vulnerable, it actually really breaks shame. And I pray, I mean, I'm under construction about this as well. I want more and more of that shame to be broken in me. And will you join me in that? I would love us as a whole church to be on that journey of breaking shame and of building vulnerability and building trust and building connection. Help us, Lord, help us to grow in this. Help us to begin to see a difference in our lives on that. We can be vulnerable with God and with other people. The last thing is, in these verses, which are so powerful, if you just look with me from verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 say, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Isn't that, that is so powerful if we can really get hold of it, telling us about our identity. For anybody who has believed, repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've received Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you are that. You have this identity. You are connected to God, and so you can be connected to one another. You are God's special possession. You are chosen, dearly loved, honored, precious in His sight. You are holy. You are a royal priesthood. You can connect straight to God. You, everyone here can have access straight into God's presence. You don't need me or anybody else to help you connect. You can connect. You are a royal priesthood. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can go right into God's presence and find grace to help you in your time of need. You are chosen, royal, loved, called, included, invited, part. You belong. You can connect. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. There's nothing. You are a light. Nothing that's impossible. You're a light to the nations. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. And I really believe that so much of this is about us as church discovering and waking up to who we are in Christ, who God has already made us to be. So often we don't see this because we just don't feel like it. But actually, it's true. When you're in Christ, you are a chosen people. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. And I think it takes time to sink in. Lord, teach me this truth. You know, oh, this difference, the journey from the head to the heart. Let it sink, go down, Lord. Not just I am, well, you know, I am. I can accept that technically. Technically speaking, you know, I am loved. Tick. You know, that's not quite what we're talking about this morning. So, you know, we need it to go from the head to the heart, from the book to my life. I am loved. I'm secure. I'm significant. I am called. I am a child of God. I am all that Jesus says I am. It encourages you and gives you strength for the journey. We need to be encouraged, don't we? We need to be like, come on, church. This is the time. The time is now. The time is now. We want the beautiful bride of Christ to be seen. Amen? You may not feel beautiful, but you are. Jesus sees you this way. You didn't even used to be his people. Now you are. We didn't used to have his mercy. Now we've got his mercy. We've got his mercy. We can run through walls because we've got the mercy of God on our lives. Nothing is impossible for those who believe, for those who take up what God has said and really put it into practice. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. We don't want to be those who like look in the mirror this morning and think, oh yes, I am actually beautiful in Christ. Wow. You know, that's what the Bible tells me. I am in Christ. Wow. And then on Monday morning, we're like, this is James, you know, when he says you look in the mirror and then you look away because you go home, have your lunch, have your tea. I don't know, shout at the kids. I don't know what you do. And then all of a sudden, tomorrow morning, you look back in the mirror and you've forgotten what you look like again. Yeah? That's what James says. But he said, don't do that. Put the work in. This is discipleship. It isn't an hour of power on a Sunday morning. It is the discipline of getting into 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and letting it come in here, saying, God, bring that truth into my life. I want to be looking in the mirror tomorrow morning and on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What difference is it going to make that you are a beloved child of God? You're a royal priest in your workplace. You're a holy people at home. You're still all these things. You're God's special possession. Even when somebody's annoying you, you are God's special possession. And that helps you to take a different stance. When you know that's who you are, you want to connect with other people. You want to build the kingdom of God together. When people know that you are, you're not afraid anymore. When we see shame broken and when we can be vulnerable and when it's okay to be under construction and it doesn't matter, that's fine. Then we say to ourselves, I'm not going to operate in insignificance anymore. There is a volunteer coordinator here for Epping Forest Food Bank. And maybe insignificance has stopped somebody. But now you don't need to be insignificant. You can step in. And now is the time. Now is the time, God's saying. He's going to send some people from us to graft into St. Michael's. So who's going to take up that call? Here I am, wholly available. I am under construction, but I'm wholly available. That's a good place to be. Who's it going to be? Is God calling you? What about this praying for Spain? or anything. You pray for things that are going on in your life at the moment, that all of our struggles, our trials, our temptations, our difficulties, this changes it. If we can step into that belonging, and if we can weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, if we can say, this is our church, and we belong here, and we have a living stone, a good shepherd, who is the captain of our church, Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We are his people, all authorized to minister, 100%. All equipped by the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, and that's another thing you can pray for. Be filled with the Spirit. My goodness. We could work up a pretty good work of God in Epping Forest, couldn't we? Not by the works of we've done, but because of his mercy and his grace. He's lavished on us freely. But it's up to us. Are we going to get hold of it, or are we going to forget what we look like tomorrow in the kingdom of God? Friends, let's remember. Let's get some spiritual memory going. Saying, God, I want to remember how you see me on Monday morning. I want to remember that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Well, thank you. Thank you, but only give it a clap if you've done it this time next week. Not interested. Anything else? But thank you. That is a lovely encouragement. Father God, we are... The time is now. We want the time, Lord. We've been talking and praying for a move of your Spirit, Lord. But you have said, Lord, we could rid yourselves. And I pray that my brothers and sisters and I will all rid ourselves of everything that kills connection with one another. Lord, there's a war on for connection at the moment. And we pray for the victory of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that we will not give in when we are in the battle about this. Help us, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters, anyone who feels in a battle about how to connect with other people, how to grow, and how to really belong. I just pray for you, Lord Jesus, to give them the victory. I pray that you would give us small victories day by day by day, small victories that will lead to a big victory. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, as you've spoken to us this morning, we really pray, here we are, wholly available. Lord, as for us, we will serve the Lord. I pray that this would be a church that we would be known as a servant-hearted church to serve the Lord. You can come here and there will be love and healing and a safe place. There will be grace. There'll be mercy. There will be openness and honesty. And I just pray, Father, that the beautiful bride of Christ, the church, the people of God, the holy, redeemed people of God, I pray for that you would help us, Lord, to begin to live not like the world who doesn't know you, but live like we know Jesus, to live, Heavenly Father, more in your identity that you've given us, Lord God, a royal priesthood, holy nation. Lord, that we would give up sin, that we would give up all these things. We haven't got time for them, Lord. I pray we would pursue the love of God. I pray that we would know your love and help us to work at it, Lord. Help us to put the discipline of intimacy in so that we would know Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we are calling on your name as your people today to pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Help us to walk out obedience that is costly and also wonderful. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We love you. We want to get closer to you. Draw us closer, nearer, we pray. Nearer, blessed Lord, to your wounded side, to your cross, to your resurrection power. Draw us nearer, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You are all we need for life and godliness, Jesus. So help us, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.